evening. Welcome. Thanks for coming out tonight. Come on in, grab a seat, get settled, and we will begin. We have our annual report we want to give from our trip to the Shepherd's Conference. Four of us went this year. Dale and Michael, Dale Gupton, Michael Bader, Greg Peterson, and myself. And we want to just use the time tonight to just kind of share the highlights, share some of what impressions were made on us, and maybe just give you a little bit of a taste for what we enjoyed all week. It's always such a blessing to go to this conference and just to be a part with the 3,000 other men who were there, and to know that there is a huge degree of like-mindedness and unity in terms of philosophy of ministry and everything. So it's just it just becomes a real time of just rallying together and refreshing, and being refreshed, encouraging each other, and then all that comes with that, which maybe you'll get to see a little bit of tonight, just has a way of recharging batteries and getting us all refreshed and pumped to go back home and hopefully keep doing what we've been doing. So anyway, but we wanted to try to sing some of the songs that we sang. You may have heard Chris mention this hymnal already, Hymns of Grace, and we're already singing some songs out of it fairly regularly here and have been for. But Grace Community Church put together this new hymnal. It just came out recently, and we wanted to sing some of the songs that we sang during the conference. They all come out of here. Introduce some of those to you. And then each of the guys will come and just kind of share some of the highlights for them personally. And we'll just see how that goes. And if we run out of time, if we're done quick, we'll eat early, or I'll think of something else to do or whatever. But anyway, why don't you stand with me? We'll begin with prayer, and then we'll just remain standing as we sing a few songs, and we'll start that way. Father, thank you for the time to be together tonight and for this opportunity just to report on the good week we had in Southern California and just the way you ministered to us through your servants there, not only the men who preached and spoke, but the 850 servants, volunteers, who just lavished such hospitality upon us, and even the host family that took care of us. So we just are thankful and look forward to just expressing some of that tonight, and hope that it'll be an encouragement to our body. Thank you for their support and just enabling us to go each year to this, and just what a blessing it is for us. So just bless the time tonight that it might be encouraging to each one here. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, stay standing. Dale was supposed to lead the song portion, but he asked if I would do it. I watched it streaming online, so if you can't go to the Shepherd's Conference and you want to watch it, you can see it online. That's always a good option. So some of these songs I heard, some of them I didn't, but we'll try to make it through these. And I think if you see the words, if you just get the words, you'll be blessed. These are great words that we should all know. So let's go through. We've got four songs that we want to try, and we'll start with All I Have is Christ.
I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy to me life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. But as I ran my hell-bound race, indifferent to the cost, you looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. And I behave beheld God's love displayed. You suffered in my place. You bore the wrath reserved for me. Now all I know is grace. Alleluia. All I have. Never come from me. Oh, Father, use my ransom life in any way you choose, and let my song forever be. My only boast is you. Alleluia. All I have is Christ. Alleluia. Jesus is my life.
Good. And come behold. Yes. Come behold the wondrous mystery. I had not heard this one before.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. Hear the theme of heaven's praises robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, hear the perfect Son of Man. In his living, in his suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law, in him we stand. Come behold the wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon the tree. In the stead of ruined sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption. See the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death the God of life. But no grave could e'er restrain him, praise the Lord, he is alive. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when he comes.
Good. And this one, Here is Love, we've sung here before, but they added a couple verses to the version that we have. So Here is Love, all four verses.
Here just as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood, who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise. He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide, through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. Let me all your love accepting, love thee ever all my days. Let me seek thy kingdom only, and my life be to thy praise. Thou alone shalt be my glory, nothing in the world I see. Thou hast cleansed and sanctified me, thou thyself hast set me free. In thy truth thou dost direct me, by thy Spirit through thy word, and thy grace my need is meeting, as I trust in thee, my Lord. Of thy fullness thou art pouring thy great love and power on me, without measure, full and boundless, drawing out my heart to thee.
All right, and Hallelujah for the Cross. That last one here is love. Came from Ireland, but it was repopularized by Fernando Ortega. If you've never heard Fernando Ortega, you should find some of his CDs and listen to him. He's pretty good. He was actually at Shepherd's Conference last year, 2 years ago. Yeah, good singer, good music. Hallelujah for the Cross. I'm going to need that E too. I don't know. Is that her? Okay. Here we go.
Up to the hill of Calvary, my Savior went courageously. And there he bled and died for me. Hallelujah for the cross. And on that day the world was changed. A final perfect lamb was slain. Let earth and heaven now proclaim, Alleluia for the cross. Alleluia for the war he fought. Love the one death has lost. Alleluia for the souls he bought. Alleluia for the cross. Alleluia.
Oh, it repeats. Should we? In this one, at least, it did. Oh, it goes all the way back. Okay, I need to go back to music theory, I guess. We're going all the way back. Verse 2. What good? We'll get all synced up here. There we are. Okay, ready to go.
What good have done could never save, my debt too great for deeds to pay. God, my Savior, made a way. Alleluia for the cross. A slave to sin, my life was bound, but all my chains fell to the ground. When Jesus' blood came flowing down, alleluia for the cross. Alleluia for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Alleluia for the souls he bought. Alleluia for the cross. And when I breathe my final breath, I'll have no need to fear the rest. This hope will guide me into death. Alleluia for the cross. Alleluia for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Alleluia for the souls he bought. Alleluia for the cross.
All right, thank you. You may be seated.
All right, I think we're going to go with Michael and then Dale, and then we're going to have a little video to show you, and then Greg and I. Right, guys?
I'm a little confused because I always thought we saved the best for last, so I don't really know what's going on. But I am off the hook because John Glasser told me if I was up here for more than 90 seconds that was too long. So we'll keep this short. I'm very thankful to have been able to attend the conference this year. It was truly a blessing. Anybody that's been knows that. So that's nothing new. That first song we sang, All I Have Is Christ, that was my favorite song the whole time we were there. That one really spoke to me. All I have is Christ. Jesus is my life. And there's something about being in a room with 3,000 men singing at the top of their lungs. That was very powerful. So I appreciated singing that song. I actually had no idea what I needed to say, as is the norm. And if I'm being honest, I had intended to talk about Matthew 23. Tom Pennington on Friday preached a sermon about spiritual blind spots. And if you're not familiar with Matthew 23, it is Jesus speaking to a crowd as well as the disciples for the first 12 verses. And then for the rest of the chapter, he is basically, it's the woe to you, the scribes and Pharisees. And when I got done, I thought, you know what, that's a sermon and I don't need to do that. So we're not going to go there. We're going to do the second option. So I'm just going to go through here and tell you kind of what the format was. And the first day we got there, Wednesday, John MacArthur got up and spoke a sermon on Think About Theology. And he started, it was in John chapter 17. He began and wasn't able to finish. And that was Wednesday at 10. Then Wednesday at 1:30, Phil Johnson got up and preached out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I just kind of put a title on these. He talked about preaching the word. At 3:30 on Wednesday, we heard from Steve Lawson. He was preaching out of Psalms chapter 2, talking about a godless culture. Then at 5:30 on Wednesday, we heard from Legan Duncan. He preached out of Romans chapter 8 about God's love for us. Then we moved to Thursday, 10 in the morning. A young man named Nathan Busenitz preached out of Hebrews 11 and 2 Timothy 4, what should be the measure for ministry success. And if you haven't figured it out, the theme really, most of the preaching was really geared toward pastors, but it was good for all. So it didn't bother me. Thursday, 5 o'clock, Al Mohler preached out of Malachi chapter 2, the roles of a preacher. And then Friday at 10 was Tom Pennington. He preached the sermon on Matthew 23 about spiritual blind spots. So it was a lot to take in. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We did have some downtime, which I have a feeling you're going to see in the video that Greg so graciously and probably facetiously created for us. I'm a little tired. I don't typically sleep in a room with three other grown men, and they make a lot of strange noises. So I didn't sleep that well, but we had a lot of fun, and I'm thankful to be able to go, and Lord willing, I'll go back. So thanks for the opportunity.
Well, I think we, Michael and I both kind of have the same format, but because I was going to share what a typical day was like, but I'll try not to bore you with the same thought. But this was my fourth time to go to the men's conference, the Shepherd's Conference, and once again, it was a blessing just to be there. We heard basically from eight different pastors, and I suppose that if you were to attend each one of their churches each week, each Sunday, you would think it would be kind of just like what we have here, that we have great teaching here every week, and you would think that it would be a blessing, you know, to sit under something like that. But when you get to hear each one of those guys just one time a year, it seems like they just bring out the best. And they come with a desire to encourage the men, a lot of pastors and elders, lay people. Some of them might be struggling. Some of them might be under heavy pressure. So they come just to bring encouragement, and the teaching is just really incredible. And I know, like I said, we're just very thankful that we have that here also. But it's like they just bring their A game when they come and share, and you just walk away thinking it can't get any better than what I heard. But when the next guy teaches and preaches, it's like it's the same. I mean, it's just you just shake your head. But it really is a blessing to hear each man, and they try to keep everything under the same theme. And basically, it was a role of a pastor. But anyway, it's teaching that puts a heavy emphasis on sound doctrine, and basically for the responsibility of pastors to teach theology. And as Brad mentioned, that was close to 3,000 men. And they have over 850 volunteers that give of their time. Some take their vacation. They miss work, of whatever it takes to minister to the men. So it is a blessing to see so many volunteers just to serve the men. But anyway, so I would just like to share real quickly a typical day, a little bit what Michael had said. But we arrived on Wednesday, and we got there around 7:30, and, you know, there's places to get something to eat and a lot of places for coffee. And so you wait until it's time to get registered. And after you're registered, the conference started around 10. And John MacArthur gave the welcome. And then after we had some really good singing, he spoke on the 17th chapter of John. And it's the role of a pastor and how that those who get behind the pulpit are those who teach, whatever it's Sunday school, but in other areas, the need to be theologians. And now that we need to be guardians of sound doctrine. Then we would break for lunch. And then in the afternoon, we heard from Phil Johnson. Then you would have another break. And then Steve Lawson would come speak. And he spoke on Psalm 2. And you're familiar with that chapter about how that the rebellion of the world's against God. And then we would have another break. And then we heard from Ligon Duncan about the Father's love for us, the Son's worth, and God's wrath. And then on Thursday, it was close to the same, but we had two more different pastors. And then on Friday, we heard from Tom Pennington when he spoke from Matthew 23 about spiritual blindness. And then they had a question and answer session where three of the pastors got up there and had a guy would ask different questions and get their thoughts on it, and that was really interesting. And then in the afternoon, we heard from Paul Washer, and I'd never heard him before, but he was just a powerful speaker and a teacher. But he talked about making Christ the focus of your life. And then we broke one more time, and then John MacArthur gave the closing message, and it was the part two of his first sermon on John 17. So that basically was the 3 days of how each day went. But all in all, it was just another amazing conference. I'm very, very thankful to be able to go. And one thing that I'm really, really thankful for is that my son-in-law, James, he got to attend the conference, and he went with his pastor and two other men. And it was just a blessing to see him there, because he has a desire also that he wants to grow in Christ. And anytime that you go into your first time, you're just overwhelmed with all the things that's going on. But just to see the desire to mature and to learn and how to teach Sunday school and maybe even to preach was just a blessing to me. And as far as, you know, what I received from it, it was just a reminder, once again, our role as elders, that we are guardians of the truth, and as elders that we are to serve and to minister, and that we are to take our role very seriously. But also at the same time, the importance of continuing to learn. You know, it doesn't matter if you're pastor or elder or just a layperson. We have to always be studying, always be learning and growing in theology. And that was really a really good emphasis that they shared about. So once again, very thankful. I'm thankful that anytime you travel with other people, you really get to know them a little bit better. And I just wanted to say I'm just very thankful for Brad and Michael and Greg. You know, there's a fine line and a balance of having a good time, but also being serious about the teaching and the seriousness of what's going on and being of sober spirit. So we all seem to have that balance of just really enjoying one another, enjoying the good time, but also understanding, you know, what's at hand. So once again, just very thankful that I got to go.
What good I've done could never save me. This hope will guide me into death. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he fought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he fought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross.
Two things before I tell you what I got out of this conference. Number one, if you'll notice, there was a lot of food at this conference. Not just where we went out to eat, but there's a lot of food that the volunteers just walk around with plates of goodies, and they just stick it in your face, and what are you supposed to do? No, I don't want that. You know. But those of us who have been before, Dale, Brad, and myself, know how to pace ourselves. When it comes to the amount of food that they give us. Bader, on the other hand, was kind of over his stomach the whole time. And it didn't matter for him, apparently, because another lady would bring up another ice cream sandwich and he would just keep going. So he'll come next year and learn and know better to pace yourself when it comes to food. The other comment I want to make is you'll notice that in both of those schedules that Michael and Dale mentioned, they didn't mention anything about Thursday afternoon. And at the end of that video showed why they didn't mention anything about the end of the afternoon, and I'll leave it at that. You can ask them how well they did in whatever else they did while sessions were still going on. This was my eighth Shepherd's Conference. When I was a seminary student, they let you go to a Shepherd's Conference for a really discounted price. So I've been to quite a few Shepherd's Conferences myself. And even as a seminary student, I love them. I think as a pastor now, I love them more. I missed a whole bunch of sessions for fellowship reasons, not other reasons. But I get to see a lot of my guys that are spread all over the world that are doing ministry. They're doing pastoral ministry, and I get to sit down with them or stand with them. We sit a lot as pastors, so standing is good. We stand a lot around and just talk about what's going on in our ministries. I have friends that are overseas in places like Northern Ireland, as well as New Zealand. And then I got friends who are just here in the States. They're either pastors or associate pastors or youth pastors or children's pastors or various things. And they love the Lord and His Word, and they love His people and the places that they're at. And it's just an encouragement to be able to love on one another and pray for one another and care for one another when we all gather at Shepherd's Conference. And that is one of my favorite things to do, is just be with all these guys who are out in various places like we are here, but out in other places doing ministry and doing the hard work of continuing to preach the word and love and shepherd people as God has given them. The couple sessions that were, they were all very, very good, the ones that I ended up going to, but there was two in particular that really stuck out to me. Maybe as a pastor, but maybe more as a youth pastor, as somebody who teaches teenagers. And I talked a little bit about this with my students this morning as I was trying to give them a kind of a flavor of what we got, and that is in 2 Timothy 4. And if you have your Bibles, if you don't, it's not a big deal, but if you have your Bibles, go to 2 Timothy 4. And what we have here is the how to what's the job title of a pastor, who's his boss, and then how do you measure success for the pastor. There's a lot of confusion about what a pastor is and what they're supposed to do and how we're supposed to measure their success. I told my students this morning, we know what a weatherman does. They tell the weather. And we know it's successful when we look outside and it's the weather that they said was going to happen. A math teacher, teaches math, and they're successful when they teach the students how to do math. And so when it comes to pastors, though, because it seems like pastors do all kinds of different things, knowing what a pastor is supposed to do and what is success for them is difficult. And so Nathan Buznitz showed us from 2 Timothy 4, number one, who the pastor's boss is, and that is God. God calls a pastor to ministry. And that's what he says in 2 Timothy 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and dead. And even in verse 8, it also calls, Paul calls Jesus the righteous judge that he will stand before someday. And so the pastor is not one who just people say, yeah, you're a good speaker, go for it, or yeah, this would be a fun thing to do, but rather it is calling from God, and God becomes the boss. And then what is the pastor supposed to do? The pastor is, verse 2, to preach the word. That is the role. It is not the pastor's job to get up and tell a bunch of nice stories and do whatever he wants up here, but rather he is one who is to stand up here and preach, not teach, which I told my students the difference between preaching and teaching, as we were instructed, is teaching hits the mind, whereas preaching hits the mind, the heart, and the will. So the purpose of teaching is it can be at any time to anybody, and you don't really have to change it, whereas preaching is teaching to a specific group of people for that specific time something from God's Word. And it's meant to change the person's thoughts, it's meant to change the person's actions, and it's meant to change the person's motivations. That's what preaching is meant to do. And how often is a pastor supposed to do this? Well, verse 2 continues to be in season and out of season. That means all the time. That is the pastor's job. And I told my students this morning that we're blessed that we have this here. This is already a conviction of this church. But there still is the pressure from others and watch and seeing websites and all that kind of and all these kinds of pressures that are around us to do anything but this, because other people seem more successful or bigger or whatever it may be. But God calls pastors to do this, and that is preach the word, particularly, and this is in verse 3 and 4, particularly when it's not easy and people don't want to hear it. Verse 3, a time comes when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they want their ears tickled, and they accumulate other teachers in accordance to their own desires, and they turn away from the truth. So even when it's difficult and hard and very few people want to listen to it, we are still called to preach the word. And in all places, youth ministry seems to be the one place where I want to do everything else but that, to get the students to listen, to get the students to pay attention, to get the students just to sit there and not look bored to death. But God calls me as a pastor to preach the word. And that is what I want to do. And again, I'm grateful that this church already has that established here in this pulpit, and that the elders already encouraged me to do just that. And then as it talks about success, that's what verses 6 all the way through verse 18 talk about. Paul was in hardship. He was in a Roman prison. He was by himself except for Luke. He had had people like Demas desert him. He had individuals like Alexander who hurt him. And he was all by himself. But he considered himself a success because, verse 17, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and all the Gentiles might hear. In other words, Paul's job was also to preach the word, and that's what he did. And as long as he preached the word, he showed what God's word said and gave it to the people to let God change their lives, he had a successful ministry. However, it didn't matter how many people were following him. He preached the word and he fought the good fight. He finished the course and he kept the faith. And he did his job as a pastor. And that was an encouragement to me, just as a younger pastor, to continue to understand what success is. And that is that I do what God has called me to do. Which kind of leads into, and there's not much more here to say, but when Phil Johnson was talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and you don't have to go there, but he's talking about three different styles that preachers just need to avoid, because Paul talks about that, and that is trying to be clever, because we think that the Bible's not adequate enough. We need to avoid that. Secondly, trying to be coy, that is not saying everything so as not to offend people, but the Bible is offensive, and it should be proclaimed so that people can understand the truth about their sin, so that they can understand the truth of the gospel. So we're not to be clever, coy, and we're not to be cool, which again goes right at youth ministry. To me, as I read and watch youth ministry, the goal is to be cool and to be hip and to be as much like the students as possible. That is not my role from God. My goal is to proclaim the word to the students, to live out the word in my own life, and to pray for them and care for them and shepherd them as I have opportunity. And so this was an encouraging conference for me in my own pastoral ministry with the students, to be one who continues to allow God to be my boss and do what he's called me to do, so that one day I can stand before him with confidence, knowing that he strengthened me to do the work that he's called me to do.
Well, we clearly have an honesty or loyalty issue. We'll deal with that maybe offline, because I thought we agreed what goes Burbank stays Burbank, but apparently not everybody got the memo on that. Yes, a few of us snuck off one day and, like schoolboys skipping school, played a little golf, okay? Is that so bad? Anyway, if it's any consolation, we didn't play very good at all, so... Honestly, and the guys would probably concur with this, after day one, you've reached saturation, you know, you're just like so much to think about, and actually having that day to kind of go play golf and then come back and hit it again on Friday. So I'm gonna call John later tonight and recommend that maybe next year they sort of format the conference that way, just since I have such a close connection with him anyway, you know. There's really not more to add. You guys covered it. I mean, you got the gist of it. The focus was our job is to preach the word, and just to be reminded of that, to be encouraged about that, to stay focused on that, to renew our resolve to be and do that, to be theologians, to be to teach the things appropriate for sound doctrine. And John MacArthur used the illustration. He just mentioned that in 1850 or so, only two college presidents, only two of the presidents of colleges in America were not pastors. Okay? All but two were pastors. And before that, all the presidents of colleges were pastors. And he just kind of talked about how in the last couple of centuries, the church has given away doctrine to academia. And in fact, on Tuesday, I went a day early and went for the pre-conference on missions, and they kind of talked about the same thing with regard to missions, how over the last probably the same amount of time, 200 years, the church has kind of given away missions to parachurch organizations. And so in both of those things, it just stirred a lot of thought in my own heart that, you know, the church really is, the local church is the center and hub of what God is doing in the world. And we take ownership. We take ownership for sound doctrine. We take ownership for evangelism and missions. And there isn't anyone to delegate that away to. We are the stewards of the gospel. And it's our job to make disciples. And it's our job to preach and teach sound doctrine and raise up future generations who can continue to do that. So anyway, it was just a real encouragement to us. I want to show you the mound of books that we all get when we go there. We do get this hymnal. And then we get a whole box. If you're smart and you check on your little thing, have it mailed for me so you don't have to lug it around all week. I'll just show you some of these, and if you want to borrow them sometime, or hold me accountable. Hey, how you doing on that stack of books? Magnificent Obsession, Why Jesus is So Great by David Robertson. Fighting Satan, Knowing His Weaknesses, Strategies, and Defeat by Joel Beakey. Let's see, what else have I got in here? The Pastor Theologian by Gerald Hestand and Todd Wilson. What We Believe by R.C. Sproul. The Stone and the Glory of Israel by Greg Harris. Parables by John MacArthur. And a couple of, I guess an audio or video version of The Reformed Pastor by Ian Hamilton. And looks like an audio recording of The Religious Affections by Jonathan Edwards. Why Bother with Church by Sam Alberry. And Owen on the Christian Life. John Owen on the Christian Life. Anything you can get by Owen that's not actually written by Owen is always good. If you can find somebody that takes Owen and puts it in a more readable format, it's gold. So, and then the church gives out this little, I guess it's a devotional, family devotional. They're Generations of Grace, which what they use for their Sunday school curriculum. So anyway, that's pretty standard. Every year we go, we get this huge stack of books. On Guard by Deepak Raju. I'm not sure I'm saying that right. Redemption Accomplished and Applied by John Murray, with the foreword by Carl Truman. And J.C. Ryle, Practical Religion. So if you don't see me, this is where I am, somewhere in there. But anyway, that's, to me, that's a huge part of it. I mean, they really promote books, reading, trying to get us to read more and more and more. And so between all of the free books and all of the free food, it's quite a week. And the fellowship is tremendous. And to me, the thrill is just going and taking guys from our church and just letting them kind of have some of the exposure to what I was exposed to my whole time there as a student. Just for the encouragement. We could look around and say, wow, we're kind of an odd duck as churches go, but maybe locally, yeah, but globally, no. So it's just encouraging to be around like-minded people and just to be, you know, exhorted from the Word and encouraged to stay faithful and keep doing what God's called you to do. So thanks for letting us go. Thanks for paying for us to go. And thanks for listening to our report. Questions? Yeah, all those guys are from our country. John MacArthur pastors in Southern Cal. Al Mohler is the president of Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Phil Johnson is on staff there at Grace to You. He kind of runs the whole Grace to You program. Who else was there? Steve Lawson helps with the seminary now, teaches preaching at the seminary. The newest one to me was Paul Washer. He was totally new to me, but I'm not sure where he is, what he does. Do you know? Yeah. Who else? Tom Pennington pastors in Dallas. Regan Duncan is a pastor and also president of Reformed Theological Seminary. And does that cover it? So they're all in our country. This time they were, anyway. Next year there could be some guys internationally come in. Last year there were for the Inerrancy Summit, but usually it's a pretty tight knit group of like-minded guys. Although, as you can see, Reformed, Dispensational, there's a little bit of a dispersion there, or a little bit of diversity there, but the focus on expositional preaching and sound doctrine is the consistent thing. Yeah. Any other questions? All right. Feel free to ask us anything after we'll have dinner together and we can continue to talk about it. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for these men who were able to go and just the impact that the week had on us. I pray that it would bear fruit in our lives, Lord, in terms of our ministries here and our faithfulness as students and teachers of your word, as shepherds of this flock, as just leaders in our homes and in our church. Thank you for your word and the sufficiency of it to equip us for every good work that you have for us. And thank you for the commitment level in this body to your word and to sound doctrine and to faithful preaching, and just the expectation level, the high standard that is set here, and for the appreciation for that kind of ministry and the demand for it, really, that enables us to do what we do. So we just thank you and pray that you would continue to build this church and keep us focused on the gospel and exalting Christ, proclaiming Christ, and doing it clearer than ever, more widely than ever, but faithfully to your glory and honor, we pray in his name. Amen.